Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the prayers that have gone ahead of us, fulfilling your purpose and plan. This evening we receive exactly what we prayed about. That our eyes be open, everyone, to behold Jesus Christ, your Son, to find purpose in him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, since last week, and I believe Sunday, I will be looking at one desire. Amen. As a believer, we must know what the priorities of Scripture is for our lives. Your ambition, that is what you set out to do, cannot be the priority of Scripture. Because without Scripture, did the generator hear me? Without Scripture, you really would have fulfilled those things. How many of you know you don't need to be a Christian to graduate from university? Let me see whether you are realistic. You know that? Okay, raise your hand. Well, let me know. Okay, let me add one more. You don't need to be a Christian to be the president of Nigeria. That's obvious. Okay? You don't need to be a Christian to be married. The hands went down. You don't need to be a Christian to be a Nigerian. That's too obvious. You don't need to be a believer I don't want to mention to be rich. I think I've left that now, but let's just look at natural things. You don't need to be a believer to help me out. I've mentioned graduate from the university or the polytechnic. You don't need to be a believer to get married. What about to have children? Huh? You don't need to be a believer to have children. What else? You don't need to be a believer in Christ to what else? To what? Get a new job. A good job. Not a new job. Okay, you don't need to be to get a job at all. Right? Whether it's good, bad, ugly. You don't need to be a believer to have a job. Is that right? So those kind of things do not define you. Because you could have achieved them without the word of God. They don't define you. They must not define you. Remember we looked at that Jesus had a singular purpose, remember? He had a singular purpose, something that motivated his life and all that he did. He said, the Son of Man has not come to destroy, Luke's Gospel 9:56, but to save. In Luke 19:10, it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In John 10:10, he said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, the King James says. In Matthew's Gospel 1:21, the Bible says that you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save. That was what the angel said to Joseph. He will save his people from their sins. So his purpose was straightforward. And so we're saying about, you must be focused. You must know what really matters to you. I don't know what the World Changers Conference, I shared this, I called it one thing. Well, I said that on one thing, that as a believer, you must have one thing you cannot substitute. That determines, that defines everything that you do. You know, many of us do not have a template with which we take our decisions. If anybody comes now and says, you know what, there's an open door in the whole of Norway. They now take Africans to be citizens. You just jump, pam, pam. And there's nothing. So say, is it true? There's nothing that decides for you.
That's why any brother or bother or bugger can propose to you and you say yes. The guy says, I may not be that serious Christian that you desire, but trust me, I love God. I love God. And he knows. Someone was telling me, was it last year, that all the guy told her about himself and his Christian work, who was asking her out, was, no matter what it is, I know that God loves me. I kind of felt that's not unique. Every man in hell, God loves them. Isn't that not true? How can that be unique? That God loves you. Are you just finding out? Bible says, for God so loved the world. And since you are in the world, and you are, it seems like you are even off the world. God loves you. So what is it that dictates, that can make you say, they give you an appointment letter and you will earn $100,000. What does Ronaldo earn? 350,000 pounds per week. That's a lot of money. Per week for playing football. And when we were younger, they beat us for playing football. Any parent that does that today does not understand the signs of time. Is there something that can make you say no? You say, there's one thing that has to agree with this. It has to tolerate this. You know, I mustn't travel to places, take on jobs that tolerate my purpose. Rather, I must do things that my purpose tolerates. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? What is so primary? And you know, when we talk about purpose today, everybody says, purpose. What is your purpose? Find out your purpose. Nobody has your two fingers. Your thumb. Say, no, what is it that makes you, or someone was preaching, say your purpose, what makes you angry? If they ask me, today, what makes me angry the most? Chelsea fans. If that becomes my purpose, so Chelsea fans are laughing at me. They are laughing. They are all the same. They are all the same. But we leave them to God. I was joking with Pastor Seku. He is a deceitful person. He's a Chelsea fan hiding. So you're hiding under your wife's canopy. You're not a man. Come out, let us face ourselves. He's a great Chelsea fan. Every Arsenal game will text me. I will give you one funny utterance like that. So you're an hypocrite. So it's not what makes you angry. What makes you angry? What makes you angry? So what makes me angry is traffic. I'll be a traffic light. Do you get it? You know, there are some things that make you angry because of your exposure. That can be your purpose. Your purpose must be Jesus' purpose. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Your purpose must be Christ's purpose. Let me say this. See, our purpose as believers is the same. Our function in that purpose may differ, but our purpose is the same. So what is that one thing that determines who your friends are? You know, so when you get to the office, as long as people begin to warm up to you and they greet you very well and they talk to you very well, you know, and then you begin to talk a lot and then you begin to share your family background. Say, me too, when I was growing up, my father had 16 wives. My mother ran away from the house. Serious. In my own case, it was not to 16, it was just 5. And you know, we share common background and we are now friends. Maybe you tell me how you look for a job, you got a job, and you say, in fact, right now, I know how what I went through. They begin to share. And then the person may be a Muslim, just say, well, it's God, oh, say, it's God, oh. But the way I say, it's God, oh, you know. And before you know it, become friends. They are so close that you forget who you are. You know why? You let aside your purpose. That one desire. So say one desire. Say one desire. Something that dominates you. In Luke's Gospel 10:38, Jesus was talking to Martha. Shared that on Sunday. And there's Martha. She had Jesus in her house and she was trying to make food for Jesus. Trying to get him comfortable. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. The Bible records that Mary was at the feet of Jesus. I explained what that meant to you on Sunday. Being at the feet doesn't mean you sat at someone's feet. It means you are learning from the person. You are paying attention to what he's saying. He says she has chosen one thing which is needful and it will not be taken away from her. It's the same thing if you are in church. And you don't even know why you are in church. That is why someone gets you angry, then you leave the church. Or something happens, you know, this is a, hey, you know, what happened? You know, that day, I was in my departmental meeting, that's how, brother, so and so, he just called me out, and then the way he spoke to me, and I know that. Why did you come in? What's the reason? Why, what is your desire? Why did you come to church? What is the purpose? Why are you in the church? Years ago, I went for a camp meeting. And they put us in one place that wasn't comfortable at all. It was a classroom. And we paid. We actually paid for a classroom. And we didn't pay for a classroom, so we were put in a classroom. So as we got there, they just said, well, we don't have many mattresses. You know, and there's some people like, you know, sometimes in churches, and you don't blame any pastor. As the leadership comes down, people can be as unconcerned. And you think it's the pastor that sent them. Just came and said, guys, we only have this person, we have to manage. And he just said it anyhow. I'm sure if the pastor was there, he would have pleaded. He just said, so we don't, we have a, just said, you know, you came late. And our money was not late. And you have to be careful not to misrepresent the pastor. People came late, and you know, and all that, and all. So as he dropped the mattress, he just said, 3 upon 1 or so. 3 for 1 mattress. And prepare your heart for something. You know, we tell you, World Changers Conference, we are not planning for your convenience. One of the things we don't plan for is your convenience. In fact, we are planning for your inconvenience. That thou shalt not be convenient. That when you sleep, you have visions of the Spirit. So they threw the mattress down and they said, there's no water. That we had to use breeze. You know breeze? They said, Jesus put one bucket of breeze. Say, you guys just have your bath. Then when you finish, you have to buy. And the guy just walked away. That's how people started serving national conference. Ha! This is nonsense. In the house of God. Is that why you should write us? And they were talking and talking and talking. And they started talking and talking. I didn't say a word. A word. I said, excuse me. Brethren. We will not die if we sleep on these things. We'll wake up. Moso, why did we come all the way to Topo? We didn't come to sleep. If you went to sleep, you pay for a very good hotel. 5-star. We came here for a camp meeting. I said, let's focus on that. I said, when we're back to the house on Monday, you can put your 2 legs on 3 beds. Stretch your hands on 10 pillows and sleep till the rapture. But this one, we came for a reason. Let us face it. Many of us do not learn how to focus on something. If you're in service, and as you're hearing the word, somebody just passes that you look around. You don't know how to focus. Yeah? Then someone's phone rings behind you, you look back. Is it your phone? Why are you looking back at someone's phone going off? You look back. Oh, is it not here? Learn to be focused. Are you following what I'm saying? One thing. One desire. For some of us, we said that very well. Oh my God. And along the line, before you know what you are doing in the church, is business relationship. Business relationship. Or some marital relationship. Let me say this quickly. The marital relationship is secondary. Secondary. I tell my wife often, the most important thing about you to me is not that you are my wife or the mother of my children. No. No. It is your call to ministry in Christ. That's the most important. She never uses the excuse of the kids or me or the family not to do the work of the ministry. No. That's secondary. In fact, that's selfish. What is primary is what you are doing for Jesus. Am I making sense? That's what is primary. Hallelujah. One desire. And I said last Sunday, or on Wednesday, and I repeat on Sunday, if you were to ask Jesus today, if there's a Facebook profile of Jesus, and they put what is on your mind, what would he write? Tell me. Souls. The salvation of souls. Let me ask you, whatever burns in your heart the most right now, is it tied to that? So do you think that when you stand before him, there will be something else on his mind? I'm asking you. Come and talk to me. I'm asking you. Okay, let me go over my question again. If Jesus were to have a Facebook profile and then they ask, what is on your mind? What would he write? Salvation of souls. Now I'm going to ask you. When you stand before him, at the end of your life, I'll say it on Sunday days, whether you like it or your life will end one day on earth. If you like, say, I forbid the blood of Jesus, whatever I call it, anything. One day. One day by one day. It will come to an end. And then you stand, that's the day every other earthly thing will be meaningless. You will now know that the clothes you are wearing mean nothing. Whether it is blue, yellow, green, or it looks fine, you will not know. The number of houses you bought will mean nothing. Somebody else will have been living in it. Is it not true? All the cars you bought, I said, who touched my car? Who touched my car? Who did touch my car? See you. Which background did you come from? Do you have this in your family line? That's the day you know somebody else will have been riding it. If not your family, at least somebody have bought it as Tokumbo. That's when you will know that, I live in an exquisite area of Lagos. Do you know that there was a time Yaba was the most expensive place in Lagos? Is Yaba Igbo? Yaba Igbo? Such is life. So one day, you will stand before Jesus. And what has been on his mind for 2,000, 6,000 years will not change. He's going to ask you, Shago, what did you do about souls? He said, Lord, I tried my best. I gave to Living Word Media. He will keep looking at you. I gave. I tried my best. I even formed an NGO for widows. He will ask you, did I do that when I was on earth? He will ask you a question, did the apostles do that? So who taught you that? As a primary purpose for living. Oh, well, I did my best. I gave out free eyeglasses. I'm going to ask you the same question. Some of you listening to me right now, it doesn't even get to you. I was preaching at a conference in 99, I think. And I asked the question. How many of you are burning for souls? Everybody raise their hand. You know, it's very easy, you know. So I now ask questions. When last did you preach? So I was saying. With the body. You have body for something you don't do. So when they all confessed their lies because they were lying. And I asked one question. I said, let me ask you a very sincere question. Don't feel bad. The issue of soul winning does not affect you at all. It's not, it doesn't, if the person like, let him quote scripture, let him do all the parable of the lost coin, parable of the lost sheep, he doesn't get to you. Graduate is raising their hands. It doesn't really affect me like that. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't bother you. As a believer, that means there's something wrong about your desires. A lady, she called me on the phone. Her fiancé was about to break up with her. Not was about to break up, had broken up. And she called me on the phone. I'd never met her before. She just texts me, sir, my life is going to an end. My life is going to finish. And all that, and I felt, well, I would have discarded it there. How can a Christian talk like, when these days of suicide, they underestimate carnality. So I picked the phone. Says, hello? Sir? I said, No, she chatted me on Facebook. Can I get your number? If I don't, I said, no, later have a message, sir. This is very, very urgent. I said, when I finished, I think I was in, I can't remember, I was in Uwiri that day. So I said, let me say, no, sir. It has to be now. Give me your number now. So I said, give me yours. She did. So I finished preaching. What happened? She said, it's a long story. I said, start from the long and end with the story. She's now telling me this happened and that happened and that happened. And we kept talking. We kept talking. So passionate about the issue. And crying. Sir, can you help me call him? I know he will listen to you. Because he says that you are his mentor, you are his pastor, you are his shepherd, you are his Lord, you are his advocate, you are his intercessor, you are his Lord, you are his you are his agape, you are everything. You know, I was just wondering, and I was telling, I think, Pastor Lam there, he was there, and I said, can you imagine how passionate she is? If I... So I said, I'll talk to him. He said, thank you, sir. He said, sir, I've not eaten for 3 days. Such people, they say fasting is not under grace. Their fasting is not under grace. This works. But they can stay on food. So I asked her one golden question. I made sure that I sorted out the problem. I called the young man and I did my best. So I said to her, have you ever cried about people going to hell? He said, not really. You are now happy. The man is back. No need to not eat for 3 days. So it's not like that. So I say, wait. Now listen to me. You've never been this passionate. There's someone you know. He's not following the Lord. You pick the phone and you call the person like you almost made Airtel ask me, who is this person calling you? It's not like I'm sorry, sir. I said, not you, you're sorry. You have to change. What motivates you has to change. That means you can be passionate. That means you can give yourself to something this way. Why not let it be something eternal? 995. A woman came to me. I don't really know what I'm going to say. Say, I don't know whether it's on tape, but whether I can repeat it. This is 2016. So she sat down. She complained about her husband. Her husband was a missionary. I knew the man. She complained about him. He doesn't come. He doesn't do this. He did this. I didn't do this. Where is this? Where is this? Where is this? He came. And I listened to her. This is 1995. Is it 96? One of the 2 years. So I said, what exactly is the problem? Sir. I said, what there should be? I have not seen a problem yet. I said, are you not a Christian? He said, I am. I said, what is your greatest problem now? It's not that the man is this, is sex. She said, that's the problem. Don't let's lie. I said, are you a sex athlete? Some of you know the story. You've heard me say it before. She said, no. I said, why not from tomorrow? Start going out to preach. So that when he comes, you'll be busy with the Lord. She said, if you have souls on your heart, and you are praying for people, and you are doing Bible study for them, maybe once a week, and you have people that you have to call, where have you been? How's your Christian life? And you have someone who didn't help as a believer, and you are supporting him. You won't be all this about your husband. It's true. It's true. So it's not just true. It is true now. You go out in evangelism. Of course, I spoke to the husband, and I corrected his attitude. But I thought, how can you live your whole life waiting for your husband to come home? You have a purpose from heaven. Hallelujah. I said, you have a purpose from heaven. Something should dictate to you. Something should fill your heart. Something should fill your time. Hallelujah. The man called me later and appreciated him because we were living not far from my house. And appreciated me. He said, my wife has changed. She's now more supportive in ministry. God is calling, her prayer life has changed. Hallelujah. I'm sure that prayer life before then, she'll go to the Holy Prophet. I want you to pray about my husband. Destiny killers are after our marriage. Destiny shrinkers. Because he's not coming home. Say, there's one woman in the village. I always tell people, all those visions of there's one woman in the village. All of us in Africa, we have one woman in our village. All of us, if you don't have a woman in your village, you are not in Africa. We have somebody that looks at you somehow. In this Africa, we have somebody that hates your father's father. Is it not true? So leave that one. Find something else. It's an African thing. It's true. When you find purpose with Christ. Imagine Jesus saying, I don't even know what to do today. And he sees people who are unsaved all over the place. I don't know what to do. I'm just thinking. Father, reveal your way. What will? The Father's heart is clear. Praise the Lord. I showed you in the book of Acts, virtually every chapter. What did we see? The preaching of the gospel. Many of us read the book of Acts on miracles, and we've seen that the book of Acts had more on soul winning than miracles. That miracles open so that soul can be won. Did you see that? Did you guys see it? So we must know what matters. Don't start a church or a ministry without this primary reason that when people come in contact with your ministry, they will want to win souls. How many of you have seen that in this church? That we give you the culture to use. Let me see your hand. You can't, if you're a member of Saints Committee, anywhere. We don't care what status you belong to in the society. We don't care how many years you have been a Christian, you have been a Christ-like. Someone said, I'm not just a Christian, I'm Christ-like. I know that was great. That motivates you, that one desire. That one desire. To preach the gospel of Christ. To talk about Jesus. That it motivates you. So that if they transfer you now and they say, well, we're taking you from Lagos, we're posting you to maybe Spain, and then you get there, you are not confused. Praise the Lord. You are not saying, Lord, show me your will. Which will? His will in Nigeria is his will in Spain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. All men in Spain, all men in Benin Republic, all men in Kano, all men in Benin Kebbi, all men everywhere. How would you go in NYSC for crying out loud? And what excites you is wearing khaki khaki. Are you a prisoner? What excites you is you take picture and you are stretching your leg on the rope. And you are hanging on a tree. And you are taking pictures and say, I like this skin. It makes Nigeria one. I met somebody from Anambra, another person from Kano, another person from Niger State. We are one. You are taking picture. Gold, copper. Shame on you. A man by the name of L.G. Elton. He prophesied before NYSE was ever inaugurated. So there's coming a scheme that will make Christians, by the virtue of the government, go around Nigeria and preach the gospel. You and I ought to believe that prophet of God, not the government. And LGLT did not say anything new. What he said was in the word. Hallelujah. I showed you. I showed you on Sunday, the minute there was persecution in the land of, in Jerusalem. And people were sent out and they killed Stephen. I thought if we're Nigerian Christians now they're posting on Facebook, pray. There's trouble. Say pray. Or say, Christians united for Stephen. We'll form a group. Christians united for Stephen. Someone will come on silver bread. And then we say, I'm speaking on behalf of born again Christians in Nigeria. The persecution is too much. The prayer is too much. You see, is this right to give us religious freedom? They kill Stephen. We will take it. That's why we must come together to vote in a new president that will say no to persecuting Christians. Are you listening to yourself? What happened as they sent them out of Jerusalem? Everywhere they went, they preached the word. They were not praying. Philip was not saying, I'm in Samaria now. He sent a text to Peter. Sir, what is God saying? What's God saying now about Samaria? What do you see in the prophetic radar about Samaria? The Peter said, Kaka, Keke, Galaga. The Lord is saying, I sent you there to discover the, Kala. I can see a strategic placement. Strategic. Positioning for the end time machination of purpose. You know, we have a way of using all sorts of words in charismatic circles. That you'll be positioned to speak to the government. Before you know it now, men will come to you and there'll be favor. I see favor. There's a baptism of favor all over you. You didn't need anyone to say that. As you step into that nation, you knew what the will of God is. Say, I know what the will of God is. Please, you say, I know what the will of God is. If you are trying to know the will of God, you are trying to confuse yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? One desire. So one desire.
one desire. On Sunday I had some stuff, I'll just sit down and get back to this. I said there are three things that we must always do. Number one, we must preach the faith, remember? We must what? Preach the faith. Number two, we must what? Protect the faith. Preaching the faith is as important as protecting the faith. Or better still, protecting the faith is as important as preaching the faith. We must protect it. So I say, well, let's just leave it to God. No. If we are not leaving souls to God, we must not leave the preservation of the faith to God. He gave it to us to preserve it. To fight the fight. To put out the word as it is. Number three, what did I say? We must practice the faith. Philippians 1:27. That your conduct must be that which becometh of the gospel. You must protect the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith. And preach the faith. In any nation that you find yourself, in any city, in any town, those responsibilities are yours. So say one desire. Say one desire. That desire is vital. It is the heart of God today. That leads me to what I want to talk about. Do you know that if that's your uttermost desire, that will be what will dominate your prayer requests. Let me say this. Whatever dominates your prayer request is your priority in life. I was sharing at the conference and I told them, so go and read the epistles. You will struggle to see a prayer for things. You will struggle. In fact, you will have to squeeze it out. Maybe Philippians, and in the same book, Philippians 4:6 and Philippians 4:19. Be careful for nothing. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his glory by Christ Jesus. And that's just 2 out of about 20 things requested for prayer. Look at that. About your prayer. Is that you are looking for a job or promotion at your job? Or you are looking for a child? Or promotion or children? Or husband or husbands or wives? Or visa? Or citizenship? Your prayer points are all about you! How would you stand before Jesus and all you're going to tell him is what you did for yourself? Look at your prayer points. That's why some people will not like our own prayer groups. We pray for line prayer. We pray for the minister of the gospel. We pray for the spiritual growth of brethren. We pray for revelation knowledge. So, we release some prayer points and say, destiny changing prayers. I kind of think that some of the problems we have in Pentecostals are with even grammar. How can we say destiny changing? Somebody is destiny. Do you know what destiny is? It's a destiny alteration service. Bring the picture of the man you want to marry. You just trick the guy. Darling, what's your favorite? That people that want to see it all the time. The guy that doesn't want to go and jazz him. He said, darling, that picture, the one that I like. But that, they said, no, bring the picture with 2 of you together. That one that we were together. Say, you like it? Say, I can't, just lie. I cannot wake up without looking at that picture you give the guy. And you are taking it to a herbalist. Who else collects pictures for a prayer? Is herbalist? Oh, are they in church? Oh, how did you know? Are you not living before? You give them pictures. Say, bring your work tools. If you're a banker, what do you bring? If you're an undertaker, what do you bring? What do you bring? Tell me your work tools who are anointed. You not come there and they begin to punish you. They say, put your 2 hands on your head. Are you seeing me?
church. Close your eyes. See your life. Let's take your picture and show you. A man in Christ. See how they took you into crisis. See. Your prayer life, that's why you're punished. So put your light lay up. What a miracle. There was one buffoon like that. That brought an insecticide. He said, I made it. Someone said, it's not fair. Ah, I said, it's fair. When you are stupid, this is fair. He's anointing their stupidity. If you ask them to come for a meeting where you teach the word, they say, oh, it's. You deserve to put your hand up. Put on it! Tell him. So say after me, oh God, oh God, send out fire, send out fire, send out fire, send out fire, oh God, oh God. You deserve that kind of ridicule or ridiculing. You deserve it. And you deserve each other. Yes, no? Both you and your PE teacher, you deserve each other. Is it not PE? Look at your prayer life. What makes you cry when you are praying? Your needs or his need? Your needs or his need? Do you know that the salvation of souls can make our Father cry? Do you believe that? I'm asking a question. Do you believe that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why would God become a man? Did he become a man for economic transformation? Did he become a man for people to be wealthy? Did he become a man for governmental transformation? No. He became a man for one desire. So say one desire. Which is for both rich and poor, educated, non-educated. Right? Transformation, non-transformation. And that should be your purpose. What will please God is what pleases him. What pleases him is when your heart goes after men that he loves and has loved in his Son. Look at your prayer life. How do you pray? How? If you have any prayer meeting, yes, let us pray, efficient prayer, you just be hearing slow motion prayer. Let's pray Colossians prayer. They will now go to the Psalms. Psalm 35. Everybody just takes position. What is it that is disturbing your life? What is that cobweb in this spirit realm? Hindering your progress. Ah, Father! Everybody just raises. You are an atheist. Is godless people that such things motivate above all things. I ask you again, what is that one desire that fills your prayer life? Someone walks into one of our prayer meetings years ago and he saw people praying and in tears and screaming and shouting. It didn't look like a word setting to me. How can we be praying and I called him idiot? When last did you preach the gospel? You can't know what they are feeling. You can't even know why they are praying. Hallelujah. What is that one desire that makes you uncomfortable? A week goes and you're uncomfortable. So because your boyfriend or your husband does not call you for a few days, say, so that look at you the whole week. I know you are busy, but you have not seen you a single thing in your pang. Didn't get from you. And there are so many disciples of yours you didn't even call.
So is that fair? Is that how we started this thing?
Look at you. Maybe you know how to sing. I love you more than anything. Your lips are close to him, your heart is far. If you love him, you love what he loves. Hallelujah. Earlier in the year, I was at lunch with some people, missionaries, who had gone around the world. We were about to take lunch, and they were sharing their testimonies. Now, because I started ministry as a missionary, I understood everything they were saying. And they were talking about the knights, you know, the things they had accomplished, different parts of the world. So the person was talking to the Lord, said, Pastor, are you not eating again? I said, eat. When you hear things like this and you eat, you are not born again. You are not really born again. You are born almost again, but you are not born again. When you hear things like this, appetite to escape. Eh? And people were sharing how they went through hard circumstances to get people born again. You could see it all over their faces. These were Americans that could have stayed in their country and enjoyed the luxury. I said, my God. My God, my God. And we're going to the same heaven. Hallelujah. Pastor Chris, to say something. But when you hear some people's testimonies, you ask yourself, and me and this person will be in the same heaven? Say, I don't think so. That there must be a heaven for people like me. Can't be this person. Look at the kind of challenges that they face. Some challenges in their marriage, in their jobs, in their business, in their health. And his passion was their passion. Hallelujah. I used to tell you, there's nothing we will like this in going through. What are we going through? Everybody is going through something. Is it not heat? We are going through heat here. Everybody is going through something at every point in time. There's no challenge you have that someone doesn't have. I'll tell you the story of certain people that I know. There's a guy who's a pilot. He will fly a pilot that every 2 weeks he goes for crusades. Every 2 weeks. Is he not comfortable? I'm asking. Is he not comfortable? Every 2 weeks. I have a friend. She should be in Nigeria shortly. That travels around the world. Plants churches. A lady. And has family wealth. Yet our greatest passion is preaching Christ where there is no church. A friend of ours was telling me how his scorpion beat her in 2012. She never told me. And in that same town, was around them, what do you call this place? Fiji Islands. There's one country beside it. Because that's where they said he got there. That in that same day, they see water for evangelism. A wealthy family. There are many people like that. She lost her husband in 1998. We practically begged her to marry. I think we've stopped it now because I think that has become a sin to her. Do you understand? There are Christians all over the world. There are people in China that they mustn't even see with the Bible. And they win souls every day. There are people in Saudi Arabia. There are people in Kuwait. There are people in Iraq and Iran. There are people in Afghanistan. You are in Lagos! The luxury of time. The luxury of space. The luxury of good health. The luxury of church where you can come to and go. They are old, they can't even fellowship in an open place. A dear friend of mine, we're ex-friend now. He went to a Muslim nation. was a practicing doctor. They got him a job, he was doing fine. He started a fellowship there, underground fellowship in the hospital. And they were meeting and all that, he was doing good. All of a sudden, things changed. They offered him 2 appointments, so he was doing 3 jobs, and they said, he was already wealthy. But it was 1, he took 2 more. You have to deal with those desires. 2 more. They started telling me, he says, sir, I think I'm getting a bit busy. I said, what are you talking about? He said he was going to hand over that fellowship to a new convert. Ha! He said, he's going to get back. I'll get back to it. I just need to, so that they will not be without someone. I just need to focus on what I'm doing. I know I'll get, you know, he gave reasons and there's nothing I could do. And in those days of, you have to use them, what do you think to call? Landline. You know, it's not like this, so you use GSM. I said, okay. The lady he wanted to marry heard about that. She knew by prayer. She heard about it and said, no, I'm not getting married to you again. After 8 years of dating. She said, no. The point is that he didn't even tell me what it was. He just came to tell me, well, he now came to Nigeria to come and beg me to talk to her. When I get those kind of calls, I said, no problem. We'll go. So if I had to play this song in the car, it was driving me away to the house. You are the love of my life. You know, I remembered that Jesus is the love of his life. I said, no problem. Got to the lady's house and said, let me talk to her privately. What happened? She said, how can someone who can abandon the work of the ministry want to be my husband? She said, do you know what that means? He can disobey God at any time. Then who am I? They can walk away from. I said, great God. You are a woman of God. So I got out and said, how are you, sir? I said, wonderful. Is it? I see him on Facebook now. He's gone astray. The moment he handed over that fellowship, in a few weeks, the government lifted the restriction. How else can they judge you? Your works did not burn at the end. It started burning now. That means everything you did was vain. I told you, faithfulness is to the very end. It's not good enough to tell us what you did in primary school or pre-primary school. What are you doing now? Ask your neighbor, what are you doing now? It's what you are doing now that matters. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many people, they are ex-servicemen. I remember when I was a soldier. I remember when I was a prayerful. When I was so prayerful. I remember when I was a soldier. Ex-servicemen. You have retired on earth. Hallelujah. I keep the fire burning. See, I keep the fire burning. How do you do? You do it by keeping your desire straight. There are believers who are in your situation. The one you are thinking is the greatest problem that the humanity has ever seen before. They are in this situation. And they are serving the Lord. They go and preach. Hallelujah. They go out. If you're a doctor, they are doctors that do evangelism every week. If you're a mother, there are mothers that do evangelism every week. If you're a banker, there are bankers that do evangelism every week. If you are 70 years, there are people that do evangelism every week and they are well above your age. Are you following what I'm saying? Many of us walk in divine healing, divine health, which is the power of God at work in us. There are those that don't even know this, like you do. And yet they serve the Lord in spite of their ignorance. You're having problems with your home, your marriage. Yes, it ought to be sorted out. By the power of God, we pray and we trust God. But that should not stop you from fulfilling that one desire. You must know your priorities. You do hear what I'm saying? You must know your priorities. Pay for miracles. That which dominates your thinking
That which you pray about the most.
I asked someone last night, I said, mention someone that you know in your church. The guy is always on Facebook. He said, mention someone that is in your church that you led to Christ, your own self. He couldn't mention anyone. I said, you should leave Facebook. You are a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. Look at your life. Who is your life affecting? Who is your life counting for? Or touch something last year, making your life count. Go and listen to it. Your life will only count if it is for the gospel. Whatever you are seeking in the natural, which is legitimate, you will discover godness may seek the same thing and they get the same results or even more. That cannot be your purpose. What people can accomplish without Christ cannot be your purpose. Did you hear what I'm saying? What people can accomplish without the Holy Ghost cannot be your purpose. What people can do without God cannot be your purpose. If you're a brilliant doctor, there are brilliant doctors who are Muslims. If you're a brilliant anything, there are far more intelligent people who are not Christians. Anyone preaching that exclusiveness to you is lying to you. And you know he's lying to you. You just chose to give yourself to delusion. But there's one thing that is unique to the Spirit of God. He will convince the world of sin. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? That is unique to the Spirit of God. He will convince the world of sin. When he is working in your life, that will be your motivation. You cannot be full of the Spirit. And evangelism is not on your heart. How? Which Spirit are we talking about? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I've found a purpose for living. I've found a desire that will stay with me till eternity. I found a desire worth dying for. I found a desire worth pursuing. I found a desire that money cannot buy. I found a desire that nothing except the Spirit of God can give you. One desire. It dominates my prayer life. It dominates my prayer life. But Pastor, what if I have a material means? Peter says, casting all your cares upon the Lord, because he careth for you. Hallelujah. Then I take on what he cares for. What he's bothered about. What he's hungry about. What God is desperate about right now. I take it upon myself. And I pursue the purpose. See, if you buy a car, it can have an accident. It can be stolen. It can break down. If you build a house, it will depreciate. Look at my house. We bought it new. My son was telling me, when are you going to move away? He's already tired. Don't mind him. But I tell him, who is the president? You can imagine that. There's nothing you will buy that will depreciate. But there's something you can do till eternity remains. It is called preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, this song by Ray Bowles hits me a lot. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am that life that was changed. When I heard that song sung for Kevin Higgin, Brother Higgin, when he was 80, I began to cry. And I said, Jesus, one day, I'm standing before you and I'll have nations thanking you for giving me to them. This matters more to me. This is more important than Nobel Prize. This is more important than being on Forbes. What I'm seeing in the life of Kenneth Hagin, this is what I want. I want lives to say, look, I'm in heaven because of you.
have answered the call of God to ministry because of you. I'm a faithful believer because of you. That counts beyond money. The government cannot recognize that. United Nations cannot recognize that. Only one person will recognize that. Jesus Christ. That one desire. Is that your desire? Let us pray. What kind of life are you leading? What kind of life are you leading? What kind of life are you leading? What kind of life are you leading now? It's all about you. What is your greatest pursuit? Is it you or him? What do you cry about most? What do you weep about the most? What bothers you the most? What has Christianity done to you? What is it that you cannot find in any other person but the one who has the Spirit of God? Begin to plan for tomorrow. Begin to plan for Friday. How you will carry out this desire.